Our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Mark and chapter 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem, at Bethphage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it,' and will send it back here immediately." They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Susie. Good morning, everyone. Let's take some time to pray before we look at this passage together. Lord, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for your word. We pray that you would be preparing our hearts to hear from you. We pray that nothing you have to say to us would go amiss and any distractions would be set aside. Amen. Amen. So, as we've already discussed, today is Palm Sunday, and we stand at the beginning of Holy Week, looking forward to the great celebration that is to come next Sunday. There's much to journey through between now and then. And this morning, we're going to focus on Jesus entering Jerusalem on a donkey, a story which will be familiar to many of us, but nonetheless relevant in our lives today. Some of you will have participated in all kinds of parades and processions, maybe for one of the Royal Jubilees, or it could be the New Year's Day parade in central London. It might be when a sports team has won something really significant and they're on an open-top bus journeying around with crowds cheering around them. I must admit, growing up in Northern Ireland, parades weren't always something that was wholly positive, but the procession described in this passage is certainly one of celebration and joy, in contrast to the betrayal and darkness that is to come on Good Friday. Of the four Gospels, Mark is the one that most clearly encourages us to reinterpret who the Messiah is. So at this time, the Jewish people would have been waiting with bated breath for centuries for the coming of a Messiah who would rescue them. The expectation would have been an all-conquering hero coming in a display of power and might. But Mark shows us Jesus described as a prophet, a teacher, a miracle worker, rather than a political or military leader. Some people at the time may have envisaged a person arriving with an enormous army. Others might have imagined a political hero using the systems and structures that were in place at the time to gain power and control. However, Jesus is neither of these. He is not a grandiose leader, but a man of humility. This paradox, the all-knowing, all-seeing Son of God, who works miracles and walks on water, chooses a humble donkey to make his entrance to Jerusalem. He deliberately chooses not to elevate himself into the kind of king or Messiah the people were expecting. As we heard last year in our series on Flipped, Jesus turns the ways of the world on their head. For us, they might seem upside down, and in this case, he is showing his radical humility, which opposes so much of what we see around us today. Knowing Jesus more is how we become more like him. And this passage helps us see some aspects of who he is. First of all, the use of a colt, a young donkey, to enter the city. This form of transport would have been completely unexpected for someone who was thought of as royal or kingly. They would have been expected to ride on a huge, powerful war horse or chariot. Today we might expect a state car or a carriage. The option Jesus chose was more like a transit van. And that's no offence to any transit van owners, but it isn't how we would expect King Charles to arrive at a royal function. Jesus deliberately chooses an approach that is far less ostentatious and worldly. He could have had a war horse or a chariot had he wanted, but he chose not to. The colt was unridden, which connects to earlier instructions from God in the Old Testament, in Numbers and Deuteronomy, where animals that had not yet been yoked were consecrated and sacrificed. The use of a colt also reminds us of words in Zechariah, "Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." So here, Jesus is showing us the godly nature of his actions, his focus on things above rather than those of the world. So we can see two aspects of who Jesus is, both the humility of his actions, turning away from the trappings of the world, but also his connection to the Father and the demonstration of his messiahship, which is perhaps less immediately visible to us, but the crowd would have known the significance. Despite the very ordinary form of transport, the crowd see his majesty. The palm branches and spreading of cloaks on the road reflect Israel's royal festal processions described in the Old Testament. This form of honouring one was not without cost to those who were there. At this time, a cloak was an item of great value, providing warmth in winter, shade in summer, cover for sleeping. It wasn't an item that would be thrown in the road for anyone. So we are seeing a significant, devotional, sacrificial act from the crowd. The cries resonate with Psalm 118. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. The crowd clearly has an understanding that although this person is not quite what they expected, he is the Messiah. You might notice that the last verse Susie read feels like a bit of an anticlimax. We have so much celebration and joy and expectation as Jesus enters Jerusalem, and the crowd may have thought he would be installed as king. But the human expectations of kingship are disappointed. Jesus simply looks around the temple and then leaves. Again, Mark is showing the need to redefine our expectations of that mighty warrior that might have been expected. In Jesus, we have a person who didn't engage with military force or the political system of the day, but someone who turned away from these expectations and was more a man of the people. They saw who he was and his majesty, even though it was being presented in a radical and unexpected display of humility. Jesus takes this approach despite the fact he is arriving in Jerusalem to make the ultimate sacrifice for each one of us, the most important act in history. So we've seen Jesus as the radically humble king, demonstrated so clearly in this passage. How do we consider that in our lives today? C.S. Lewis said, "Humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less." So not thinking less of yourself, thinking of yourself less. This is a huge departure from the world that we see around us in 2024. The world in which we live is focused on me. It's all about me. What I've achieved, what my challenges are, what I look like, what I own, or the job I have, what I'm planning to do next. Jesus is showing us the need to avoid the worldly desire for an extravagant celebration of self. This is a challenge today, especially when we're surrounded by social media, so much of which is about sharing the very best, possibly slightly tweaked, version of ourselves with the rest of the world. It's worth considering, Would we have chosen the humble route when the opportunity for self-aggrandizing was available? Jesus could have had that chariot, but he chose not to. Would we make the decision to step away from self-congratulation when the opportunity arises? Are there circumstances where it's just too tempting to be front and centre? Perhaps there are times in our work when we need to recognise the contribution of others and to make it less about us, or be more aware of the support offered by family members that enables us to do everything else in our lives. Might we be able to focus on enabling others to grow and flourish rather than thinking of ourselves? Your step of radical humility may not involve riding on a donkey, but there will be aspects of your life in which you could take a humbler route. Some of these steps may seem costly. You might feel that you're being asked to throw down your cloak in the road, just like the crowd in the passage. But this radical, countercultural action will challenge and reinforce your own faith, helping you to grow more like Jesus and inspiring those around you. Let's take a moment to pray and reflect on what God is saying to us through this passage. Lord, we thank you so much for this celebration that we read of as you enter Jerusalem. Thank you for the radical humility that you show us in this moment. We ask that you would enable us to see where in our lives we can take the humbler route. Which cloaks are you asking us to throw down? Lord, we pray that you would make that really clear to us in this moment. Give us boldness to see where we might be able to step back and shine more of a light on you and on others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.